That was truly a blessing. Amen. If you were not blessed by that, your blessers broke. That was fantastic. I want to thank the choir for all the hard work that they and the time that they put into that, as well as Brother Greg. I really appreciate that. What a blessing. And Tanya and Pastor Herm and his part, and of course those that acted out their parts. That was truly a blessing. And it's always the exciting part of this time of year when the cantatas and the children's programs are just so exciting, and that was truly a blessing. So we're going to talk a little bit this morning about when faith overcomes fear. Verse 30, looking back at the text that Brother Larry just read, and the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God." Let's stop for a moment and pray. Dear Lord, I thank you again for our time here today, Lord. I thank you for your word. I thank you for every little thing that you do in our lives. Lord, I thank you for those that you've blessed with the gift of music. When it comes to Tanya playing the piano and Brother Greg leading the choir and those that participated in the choir and the acting, Lord, we thank you so much for just blessing us with the ability to do some of these things. And I thank you for those that are willing to utilize those abilities and talents for your glory. So we thank you for that today, Lord. I thank you for this cantata and the blessing that it was to me, and I'm sure many here this morning. Now, Lord, I pray that you'll have your hand upon us as we switch gears a little bit to the Word of God. I pray that you would fill me with your Spirit this morning. Lord, I pray that you'd be glorified by everything that is said behind this pulpit today. Lord, we love you and thank you. I pray for that one here that maybe has entrusted Christ as Savior. I pray that today would be the day of salvation. So, Lord, I pray that you'll continue to have your hand upon us as we continue to worship you. We love you and thank you. We say this in Jesus' name. Amen. Fear not. And those were words that the angel Gabriel gave to Mary. And I think it's words that we often try to apply in our own lives. You know, you think about different emotions that we go through, and I think for me, fear is definitely my least favorite. I don't know how many here enjoy being afraid. That's not me. And if you are one of those people, I think you need to seek help. Because fear is not a pleasurable emotion. But unfortunately, it's hard to get from many times, isn't it? How often are we motivated or moved by fear when it comes to decisions in life, or maybe reactions to a certain situation, or maybe handling a certain situation? How often are we moved by fear? And I think too often we allow fear to direct us in many parts of our life. I remember living in northern Michigan. The one thing that's interesting about northern Michigan, it's dark. Not much with lights from cities and that sort of thing. And we lived on 35 acres and behind our house was nothing but woods. And I remember walking my dog Prince, and at times would just glare up at the stars in amazement because it was so dark, the stars just popped. I mean, you just couldn't help to marvel at the glory of God. And I used to have a real good time walking my dog, Prince. I really did. Until one day, I was looking out my back glass window and noticed we had like a tree line, these 30-foot pines, and there was probably a gap of about 20 feet, and then there was another tree line of pine trees. And one day, I was sitting back kind of taking a look at my birds and noticed something big and black and walking on all fours coming into my yard. Yes, a big giant black bear was walking into my yard. The funny thing about it was I saw a black bear walk through my yard before I actually saw a deer walk in my yard, which I thought was kind of odd. But this big giant black bear comes walking in my yard. I can't believe it. I'm like, there's a black bear in my yard. I yell upstairs, kids, they're coming, there's a black bear. You know, and of course they took their time getting down there, and he's still walking through the yard. I'm like, keep going. He finally crossed the street and laughed. After that, though, my walks with Prince weren't quite as pleasurable. I just was always constantly looking to see if a bear was coming around that turn. And every once in a while, I got so spooked, I kind of strapped something on. I felt like a cowboy, if you know what I mean. It's amazing how things in life, we are moved with fear. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Of course, keep your hand in Luke. That's our text. And I said, yeah, 2 Timothy chapter 1, sorry. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Very popular verse, and I'm sure many of you probably could recite it by memory. But for those that didn't have it memorized, I thought we would stop here for a second. 2 Timothy chapter 1, excuse me, in verse 7. Excuse me. Verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You know, the Lord doesn't want us motivated by fear. He wants us motivated and directed by His Word, His Spirit, giving us power and love and of a sound mind. Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You know, God wants His children motivated and directed and encouraged by His Holy Spirit, His Word, and other believers. He wants us motivated by power and love of a sound mind. But I can tell you right now, the enemy doesn't want that this morning. Satan does not want us to be motivated by the Holy Spirit or His Word or other believers. He wants us crippled with fear. And that's the one thing that's interesting about fear is more times than not, and I believe this is why the enemy, Satan, tries to do it, utilize it so much in the lives of believers, because what does fear do? Fear paralyzes. I don't know what I would have done if I would have been walking Prince one night around 11 o'clock when it was totally black, so black that the bats are like, boy, it's dark. Bats can't see. I don't know what I would have done if a bear would have walled around the bend. If he would have came right between that gap of pine trees. I don't know what I would have done. I very well may have been paralyzed with fear. And I believe that's why the enemy tries to utilize fear in our lives, because he knows that fear paralyzes. He wants us to be fearful, to move for the Lord, or to serve the Lord, or to talk about the Lord, or testify to the Lord, or serve the Lord, or be used for the Lord. A couple weeks ago, or maybe last week, we talked about the message of Christmas. How often does somebody say to you, Happy Holidays, and maybe we were too fearful? You know, are we afraid to share the message of Christmas? The message of what was sung about and acted upon here just a few moments ago. That God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That whosoever would believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Is that the message that we are sharing when we go outside these doors? Now, praise the Lord here as we look at Mary and Joseph. This was a couple that was not paralyzed by fear. Think about the many opportunities that they could have been paralyzed in fear. Or maybe some of the opportunities why being motivated by fear maybe made a bad choice or decision. But instead, this couple fulfilled the unexpected, the unbelievable story of Jesus. So looking at this text, some things that will cause fear. First, the fear of the unexpected. The fear of the unexpected. Going back to our text. The fear of the unexpected, verses 26 through 30. It says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Boy, don't you love the unexpected moments in life? Those tragedies that lead us to the hospital in the middle of the night. Maybe it's those trials when it comes to a difficult job situation. Maybe it's the tribulation, the unexpected tribulation we deal with in life when it comes to persecution as believers. The unexpected will often produce fear. The unexpected will often produce fear. And we see here that angel Gabriel came to Mary. Before that, though, as we witnessed here, the angel came to Zechariah, didn't he? Go back to Luke 1 here. Look at verses 11 through 14. Something we're going to take note of here in verses 11 through 14. Verse 11, it says, And there appointed unto him an angel of the Lord, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. And the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard, and thy Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Of course, we know this is John the Baptist. Verse 14, And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. Nearly 500 years earlier than that, the angel Gabriel paid a visit to Daniel. So turn to Daniel chapter 8. Daniel chapter 8. Verses 16 and 17. And hopefully we notice something else here as we read this. Daniel chapter 8, verse 16. And I heard a man's voice between the banks of Ulai, which called and said, Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision. And he came near where I stood, and when he came, I was afraid, and fell upon my face. But he said unto me, Understand, O son of man, for at the time of the end shall be the vision. It's interesting, as the angel Gabriel appears to Daniel, it's to reveal prophecy, but as he appears to Mary, it was to fulfill prophecy. Now, when you look at these opportunities for those who witness the appearing of angels, we've seen here repeatedly that they were ultimately afraid at the appearing of an angel. When you think about an angel coming in all of his glory, it's quite understandable why Daniel and Zechariah, and we find out here a little bit, the shepherds, they were afraid at the appearing. But it's interesting here that the angel wasn't what caused Mary fear. It wasn't the appearing of the angel that caused Mary to be afraid. Go back to our text here. Look at verses 28 and 29 in Luke chapter 1. And it says, And the angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled, not at his appearing, but at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. So it wasn't the appearing of the angel that brought maybe some fear to Mary, but it was the reason for the visit. She was troubled at his saying. So think about this. At this point, Mary's life's very normal. Just like many young women, they have the dreams of finding their knight in shining armor and would one day swoop her off her feet, right? And she'd be married and have children and a loving home. She had dreams like any other woman. It's interesting to hear that within her dreams, though, she kept herself right with God. We hear often that she was highly favored with God and that she was blessed among women. She kept herself right with God, and we know here that she was a virgin and engaged in anticipating marriage. So her life at that point was very normal, but then the unexpected happened. She got a visit from this angel who tells her she's about ready to be with child. As we've seen here with many throughout Scripture, you know, just the appearing of an angel would often bring fear. But she wasn't feared at the appearing of the angel, but at his saying. It was the fear of the unexpected and the thoughts of what Gabriel was saying that brought to her mind. Maybe the emotion of fear, and I will cover that here in a second. But she says here, I'm a virgin, I'm engaged, I'm going to be carrying a child. What are people going to say? Could you imagine? What are people going to say? What's my fiancé going to say? What's going to happen to me? Because we know that really there were pretty much two options in this case. Either Joseph puts her away and divorces her, or she could be stoned. So it's not the appearing of the angel that troubles her, but it's the words that he is saying. Now in this text, the word trouble is diatarakthe. Diatarakthe, which means to be disturbed, alarmed, unsettled, but then also frightened. So you see here in this text here that she was troubled. Yes, I'm sure fear played a part, but she was disturbed, alarmed, and unsettled at the words that she was hearing. I'm a virgin, I'm engaged, and I'm going to have a baby, and it's not going to be my fiancé's. That's kind of a problem. But I appreciate here when we look at her response that we see that there was more evidence that she was right with God, because even though she was troubled, she didn't panic. And I think more times than not when it comes to those type of situations in our life where we're troubled, the closer we are with God, the less we'll panic during those times, isn't it? I'm not saying we're not going to be unsettled or troubled or alarmed or concerned and maybe even a little fearful. But you know what? The closer we are to God, the closer we are to His Word, the less we're going to panic during those times. We're going to look to God and His Word. We're going to look to encouragement and prayer from believers. We're going to look for the comfort and guidance we get from His Holy Spirit. And that's the thing I appreciate about Mary here, is we can see that she was highly favored in the eyes of God and blessed among women, because her reaction here was not one of panic. And I think that when it comes to the Lord, He doesn't want us to panic during those times of fear, but He wants us to trust Him and His Son. Trust Him that He is in control. Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The Lord wants us to have the faith to trust in His sovereignty. Because we're going to go through times of fear. We're going to go through times of trouble. We're going to go through times of uncertainty in our lives. Now, do those times, are we fall away from God? Are we pulling away from the Lord? Or are we drawing to Him and trusting Him and the promises we get from His Word? Again, 2 Timothy 1:7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. He doesn't want us to be fearful. He wants us to trust in Him. I found this poem and I thought it was worth reading by H.B. Hartzler. Fear not whatever betide you in all the coming days. Your Lord will walk beside you in His appointed ways. His hand will surely guide you with friends and helpers fail. And His pavilion hide you when foes and fears assail. Fear not, turn backward never, whatever may oppose. Look unto Jesus ever, and in His love repose. And one life's little story and eventide is told. Then in the morning of glory you shall His face be behold. You know, the angel Gabriel came with some good but unexpected news. But the one thing Satan couldn't do is Satan couldn't take away the fact that Mary had found favor with God and had the faith to do the part of this wonderful miracle. Second, we see the fear of the unbelievable. The fear of the unbelievable. Look in verses 30 through 34. It says, "And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" You know, in our mind, more times than not, we put limitations on God. We have a problem with the things that are going on in our lives, and what seems maybe impossible to God, or impossible to us, is impossible to God, whether it's health conditions or a job situation or finances or relationships or our marriage. A lot of times what we look at as impossible, with God, it is possible. The unbelievable will often fuel fear. And we see here in verse 34 that Mary said unto the angel, How shall this be? See, I know not a man. Now again, to Mary, this seemed unbelievable. This seemed impossible. But with God, everything is possible. Again, thinking back, Joseph and Mary, they had their dreams in their sight, this wonderful marriage and wonderful home and children, and they had this dream. And then the unexpected, the unbelievable happened when this angel appeared unto Mary, and what seemed to be an awful blow to their dreams. You think about Joseph again, and we talked about him a couple weeks ago, and I'm sure his dreams were shattered. I'm sure he thought that he would lose Mary, because there was technically two options. Now the angel presents him another one. And I'm sure Joseph was probably gripped with fear. His future bride was pregnant. Obviously it was not his. But as we talked about a couple weeks ago, Joseph was a just man. Turn back to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. Joseph was a just man. Starting in verse 18. Matthew 1, verse 18. "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. And then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." You know, we probably can all relate to those type of nights when the unbelievable happens, and we're disturbed in our thoughts, and we're at the place where that's all we can think about. We're just consumed with the thoughts of this unbelievable situation in our lives, and it drives us to the place where we can't even sleep. I believe that's where Joseph was here. I think that as their dreams were shattered by this information, he's pondering and thinking about maybe a way that he can fix it. That's like us a lot of times, isn't it? Before going to God, before going to his word, before going to brothers and sisters in Christ for prayer, we try to fix it ourselves. I believe if Joseph left to himself, yes, we see that he was a just man, but he may have made a poor decision because he was motivated or moved by fear. I believe that he would have probably tried to figure out a way, and it probably, because it was motivated by fear, may not have been the right decision. But the Lord sent an angel to calm his fear. The Lord sent an angel to give him hope. And the Lord sent an angel to give him peace. And gave him a third option. Marry her. Marry her. Because what is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And I believe that's what the Lord wants to do in our lives, is to remove fear and replace it with hope and peace. Turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Verses 6 through 9, I want us to see something here. Philippians chapter 4. Starting in verse 6. Verse 6, be careful for nothing. In other words, don't worry. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Verse 7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. That kind of brings to light 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. That's what the Lord wants. You know, God's peace is different than the world's peace, isn't it? It's not found in positive thinking. It's not absent of conflict. Real peace, divine peace, is knowing that God is in control. And that our citizenship in Christ's kingdom is sure. Our destiny is set. And our victory over sin is certain. Those are the things that we can trust in this morning. If we know Christ is our Lord and Savior, we can have the hope that God is in control of everything in our lives. More times than not, I think we just need to get out of the way and let God remove that fear and give us peace. Third, we see the fear of the unknown. The fear of the unknown, going back to our text as I finish up. The fear of the unknown. Starting in verse 35, and it says, and the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren, for with God nothing shall be impossible. You know, the unknown will often bring about fear. And I think when it comes to the unknown in our lives, more times than not, we put limitations on God, don't we? We kind of put God in this nice little box because in our own minds, it may seem impossible. So we put these limitations on God. But as we just read here, with God, nothing's impossible. With God, nothing is impossible. We must grasp that this morning and trust that with God, nothing is impossible. Because the unknown will often bring about fear. We see this with the shepherds in Luke 2, verses 8 through 14. And there were in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid, once again, at the appearing of the angel, seeing them in their glory. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. I bring you good news, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. You know, these shepherds were fearful of the unknown. They saw the angels appearing in all the Lord's glory. And I'm sure this overwhelming scene, it's understandable that they would be fearful. But it's interesting, even the shepherds, the Lord replaced their fear with peace. I know much of our life is unknown. And that can in itself produce fear. You know, we don't know about tomorrow. We don't know about next week, next month, next year. And because of those things in our minds and are unknown, it can cause us to be fearful about our future. You know, that next doctor visit, or maybe it's that next test that you're supposed to get, or maybe it's your job review. All these different unknown, uncertain things in our lives, a lot of times, if we allow it, can cause us to be gripped with fear. But only God is omniscient. Only God is the one who's going to know what's going to happen in that job review or that test. He knows our past as well as our future. He knows the hidden things. He knows the spontaneous. He knows the immediate. He knows our thoughts. Hebrews 14, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. And the Lord doesn't want us fearful in our lives. He doesn't want us moved or motivated or paralyzed with fear. He wants us to have peace and faith and trust in his sovereign hand, that he is in control. Sometimes we just have to get out of the way, don't we? Sometimes we just have to get out of the way of trying to figure it out ourselves, or trying to fix it ourselves, or trying to do it ourselves, and say, God, listen, I can't do it. I can't. There's nothing I can do about the test. There's nothing I can do about my next job interview or my job review. There's nothing I can do about it. Lord, you're going to have to take it because there's nothing I can. That's exactly where he wants us. Trusting him. Having faith in him and allowing him to give us peace. Now, I didn't add this to the outline. I thought I'd do it as a little trick point here. But fourth, we're going to look at the faith that overcame fear. The faith that overcame fear, looking back in our text here, as I finish up, verse 35, and the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also the holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Verse 38, and Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. You know, Mary's faith gave her a peace to fulfill the will of God. Verse 38, she said, be it unto me according to thy word. That means I'm going to do this. I don't know. It's unexpected. It's unbelievable. I don't know what's going to happen in the future. I don't know what's going to happen to me. But guess what? I'm going to serve the Lord. And you know what? The Lord wants that in our lives as well. Because we're going to go through times where things are unexpected, unbelievable, unknown. Maybe there's times where we need to share the message of Christ. And Satan's attacking us with fear. Don't share, don't share. You don't have the Bible memorized yet. You don't have all that scripture memorized. When all he wants to say is, you know what? Jesus loves you. God loves you. And this is how I know. Because this is what he's done in my life. I appreciate Mary here and her mindset that she wasn't fearful at the appearing of the angel. She was fearful or concerned or troubled about what he was saying as she was thinking this in her mind. But no matter what was said, no matter what she thought, no matter what concerns or what alarmed her, verse 38, she says, "Be it unto me according to thy word." You know, when you think about our faith walk, you know, what are we doing to increase our faith? Are we trusting God and his sovereignty? Are we working our lives? Are we spending our time in God's word and studying God's word and spending time in prayer and allowing the Holy Spirit to minister in our lives so that when that time comes where we're being attacked with fear, we can respond like Mary? You know, Joseph and Mary overcame fear with faith, and God gave them peace. And they were used in this wonderful miracle. Now the question is this: how will we respond when we're confronted with fear? Are we going to allow that fear to paralyze us? Or are we going to trust in God and allow him to give us peace? I'm going to close again with Philippians 4:7. "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus." God wants us to trust him this morning. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you again for our time here today. It has been